Hey, Heather here. Designed to empower individuals to be their best self, the Ron Kitchens Always Forward Leadership Podcast brings fresh understanding to the issues today's leaders are facing and equips them with new perspectives and resources to lead forward. Welcome to today's conversation with Ron Kitchens and Brad Lominick.
Hey, thank you for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. As always, I'm Ron Kitchens with my able body sidekick, Superman, special hero to all beef patties, special sauce.
Lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
Brad Lominick's here today. We have been looking up the world's most famous jingles, and so we've got brainworms from jingles.
We have jingle on the brain. If you had a jingle, Ron, to represent Ron Kitchens, do you know not necessarily what the wording would be, but do you have a sense of like the vibe of your jingle? I feel like it'd have to be high energy. It would need a water element to it because you like the water.
I was thinking there's an old movie, Paint Your Wagon. Do you know this movie?
I'm familiar.
The old movie Clint Eastwood ever singing. And
yep.
He and Lee Marvin, and I was born under a wandering star.
Okay.
It is so bad. It's like one of my favorite.
So Clint Eastwood might be the jingle singer for you.
Yeah, that would be kind of a Dirty Harry style.
Okay.
Jingle singer.
I like
kind
that.
Kind of a get off my lawn
yep.
jingle singer.
Yes. I like where your head's at.
Yeah.
All of us need to think about what the jingle is on your life. If you could create your own jingle, what would it be?
So there's this service online, and we'll probably get lots of emails that tell me that everything I like about it is wrong, but it's called 99design. And so you go on to 99design, and they take you through these questions. What kind of logos do you like? What's your artistic style? And then for $299, they run a contest and you get one I just ran for Truman's Tacos and Beer, which is an annual pop-up taco and beer bash that we throw that always has t-shirts at it. We just had designs and we had over 200 different designers submit multiple designs each on what this year's t-shirt ought to look like.
Wow.
So maybe somebody out there could start a we will write your own personal jingle.
Okay.
Because, you know, at ronkitchens.com, the logo you see there and that look, that was all done by a designer from 99design with Breeze guidance, of course. But it would be cool if we could have like the ronkitchens.com jingle contest.
I feel like we need a jingle for not only you, but for this podcast.
Yeah, that's it.
So anybody that has a jingle idea, go ahead and hit us up. Isolation. Loneliness. Not that he's lonely.
Well, he's a big mansion. He may be lonely in it.
He may be in a big house with nobody else around. One of the things about leadership, I think, that we've all struggled with, whether you've been leading for a long time or just a short time, is the further you go up the ladder, the more lonely it gets. And when you're at the top, you've arrived, you're now there, you're looking around going, man, this is pretty nice. Like, I like being in charge. But being in charge means many times that you're the one who is now staying late or thinking about things all the time. And you get isolated, you get lonely, you get pushed out into the fringes where there's not a lot of folks hanging out with you. So this is a big issue. It's a big pain point. You know, I heard the other day that one of the new greatest health challenges is loneliness, that it's causing other health challenges, but it actually is a health challenge.
Causing depression. And a lot of senior leaders now dealing with depression issues and medication around that and absolutely being traced back to loneliness.
Yeah.
You know, and like you, I spend a lot of time around very senior point leaders and where people assume they work hard, they do all the right things, they get all the perks of that, whatever that means, whatever industry they're in. And most of them, you would think, would kick back and say, all right, I've made it and this is it. Most kick back and say, it's all there is.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of times nobody to share it with. And they're isolated in that their behaviors are so regulated. I have worked closely with a group of leaders who spend a lot of time with each other. They live in a different state. And they really not so much like each other as they trust each other that they can be themselves. around that. They can act up a little bit. They can admit their foibles and their frailties, and they can be human. And that's what they're looking for. And that's a lot of times with this loneliness of leadership. We don't have to be lonely, but unless we're intentional about building a tribe around us that I've heard described as, you know, a personal board of directors, mm-hmm. or, you know, a behind the boardroom door group, or just those people that you so trust. You know, LeBron James famously surrounds himself, and it looks like they've all been pretty good decisions, with people that he grew up with, because he trusts them to do life with. Now, in his case, you know, there hadn't been much bad behavior out of that group, and they seem to have built huge businesses together. I think that's what most leaders are looking for.
Yeah. Well, and find people that you don't pay.
Yep.
Or that don't pay you.
Aren't dependent on your success to have success in their own right. Their yes. mortgage isn't dependent on your production.
And find people that aren't impressed with you.
Yep.
Because that's also many times part of the challenge, is that when you are the person in charge of your company, of your whatever, is you get used to being around people who are impressed by you. They want your time. They want your attention. They want something from you. And you need to be intentional about finding people who need nothing from you. In fact, they're not impressed with you. One of the great phrases that I hear a lot, and I think it's true, is that you will be the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with. So part of this is go find those five people, but also find the right five people, you know, find the right 10 people. And some of us who are extroverts, you know, we need more than that. We need to constantly be leaning into the way we're wired, which is to have lots of friends. Some of us who are more introverted, or we're more designed for having one or two like really close friends, you know who you are when it comes to this idea of isolation, but you have to go outside of your circle. You know, if your friends are limited to just the people you work with, not saying that's a bad thing, but it's probably not the best thing. And it will limit you then to, your whole world is built around the thing that you're driving or the thing that you're a part of, compared to finding people outside of that world who allow you to be yourself and allow you to put your guard down.
Who don't want to talk about your business.
Exactly. They don't care.
They don't care. They want you as a person to be happy, to be satisfied, to be validated, but they don't understand the specifics of what that looks like. And so they're not trying to renegotiate the lease on your office building while you're, you know, fishing or playing golf or just sitting and watching the sunset.
Yeah. The other thing with this is, and you know, all of us, I'm guilty of this a lot, is figure out what your hobbies and passions are and be true to those and stick with them. You know, so
go deeper on that.
Well, I love to duck hunt, and I have to be intentional now about pursuing that passion. And when I do it, I love it, because first of all, I just love being outdoors. I love being in a duck blind. It's one of the most spiritual places I can find. But I also have to do it with other people. Like, it creates community for me. And several of my closest friends, they love to duck hunt as well. Well, it actually gives us opportunities then to go create memories together. But if I'm not intentional about it, then I'll put it off and I'll put it off and I'll put it off. Same thing with snow skiing, same thing with golf. Like, there's a lot of things for me that are hobbies that force me to push into relationships. And it has to constantly remind me of, okay, I'm not just going to duck hunt because I love to duck hunt. I'm going with somebody else.
To build community in something that's really important and not transactional.
Yes.
Because a lot of point leaders, I know I have fallen into this, to go, I can't really go do what I want because I don't own all of my time. And so if I've got something that benefits one of our businesses or benefits our team, well, I need to do that, because, you know, that's where the organizational benefit. But forgetting that, you know, unless we take care of the heart, the body is never going to function properly.
Yeah.
And so investing in that, you know, my annual dove hunt to South Texas with the guys, a lot of relationship gets done sitting on recycled pickle buckets, waiting for little teeny birds to fly too high to hit them.
Right. It's not about even the shooting of the bird. It's about the conversations that you
have. And about
talking
about our kids and talking about our dreams for our careers and talking about troubles we're having at home and talking about how you decide how to retire and talking about all these things that you don't really have permission to talk about with anybody else.
I've heard so many CEOs and thought leaders, you know, whoever it is, like the people at the highest levels of power, say that the thing that kept them sane and that kept them grounded and balanced was things outside of their job, the thing that they're driving, that actually allowed them to have, it's almost like having a pressure valve that you can find these other places to relieve the pressure. And man, those are really important. Again, the higher you go up the ladder of influence, the more you have to be intentional about seeking out those things that allow you to talk about something else besides what you're getting paid to do. Because the pressure is already so significant in many of those environments that you have to have places where you can just show up and be you and enjoy it.
But I think it's critical for emerging leaders, leaders coming up on their journey, to don't think I'll do that when I get there.
Right, start doing it now.
You will not get there if you don't do that.
Yeah.
If you don't have that tribe, if you don't have that group, whatever you want to call it, if you don't have those people who can laugh and make fun of you and you enjoy it,
yep,
that you know that it's the best day ever when you sit around and you laugh at silly things that you do, you know, and you can be in community. If you don't have that to begin with, there's almost no chance you're going to make it to the top. This idea of the lonely Superman point leader is just as much of a science fiction as the real Superman is.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
And the other thing is, don't feel like you can't have friendships in your organization. I mean, the people who say, I'm in charge, so I can't really be friends with the people I work with. That's hogwash.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You, in fact, want to be friends with the people you work with. In fact, you should be friends with the people you work with. If you don't like being around the people that you're around the most, man, that's a tough life, and that's a tough assignment.
Well, the other way, the non-friendship way, is the transaction. And nobody wants to be a component in a transaction.
Yep.
No one. There isn't anybody who gets up today and says, oh, I hope I'm treated like a cog in the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
People want to be valued and they want to know that you're doing life with them. But as a point leader, you've also got to have that outside group. Maybe it's, as Bob says, it's the eight. Maybe it's three solid folks. It's a foursome. But it's a group of people who will call your bluff, who will challenge you to be better, but will also, when one of them sends out an email, I got an email recently from one of my guys that said, hey, reach out. So-and-so's PSA numbers are high and they're going to see the specialist today. We all were immediately pouring in, and it was so inspiring to me to see this group of men rally around the, hey, I'm here for you. And to know that if something went wrong, every one of those guys would show up with a lawnmower to make sure your lawn got mowed, and they would be there to take up the shortfall for you. And that's, I think, what we all hunger for. It just amplifies the higher you go up that leadership ladder.
And are you, with your board, do you live by the same premise that, you know, your board is not just oversight and ultimately you're responsible to the board, but also that they're people you're doing life with?
Oh, absolutely. A good percentage of my board has been in my house for dinner. I've vacationed with a couple of my board members. We socialize with board members. These are men and women who care as passionately about our organization and our mission as I do. And they get up every day wanting to make sure that they're pouring into me and supporting me. And you know, some I have a stronger relationship with because we're humans. But absolutely, I know that if I needed somebody to rally to me personally, that there are eight that would come mow my lawn.
Yeah. I would add this too, you know, that leadership doesn't have to be lonely. It doesn't mean that that's part of the job description. So I'm trying to figure this one out in this season for me of life, is take people with me. And what does it mean to actually take people with you? I mean, there's one side of that that means you pull people up to your level. You're constantly trying to add more room at the top of Mount Everest, you know, to the summit. But I'm also thinking about, how am I bringing folks along, like younger leaders? How am I allowing them to be part of the process with me and go on trips and be part of speaking opportunities? And so in your leadership, be thinking, how are you bringing somebody with you? And there has to be limitations of that. Like, you want to be smart with that, but start bringing some young cats along the journey with you. You know, if you're a CEO going on a customer call, take a 23-year-old, add them to the travel journey. Like, be a mentor to them as you're walking, because so much of the response to loneliness is just add one person.
Yeah.
Whether it's your spouse, whether it's a child, whether it's a coworker, whether it's a board member, take people with you. You know, you'll be better in the process if you do.
Yep. You know, and one final thought, there's no honor, there's no award, there's no trophy for being sad, lonely, and miserable. So leaders that find themselves in that, there's some great opportunities to change out there. You know, Bob Buford's book, Halftime, is a great book to talk about those things, about giving back and pouring into people. A lot of it deals with value issues, but there's a lot of those things. And Brad's dead on. Take somebody with you. The journey can't be lonely if you populate it with people you find interesting.
Exactly.
It's impossible.
Right. Yeah.
So go about this week finding ways to lift yourself up and lift up the hopes and dream of others. And thank you for joining us today and always forward. We are so glad you joined us today. If you're feeling like the weight of leadership is on your shoulders and dragging you down, it's time to take a day that'll inspire and refresh you. Join us on January 25th at Catalyst University in Kalamazoo, Michigan. It'll be a conference unlike any other you've ever experienced. And we know you'll walk away renewed with incredible energy. To get all the details, go to catalystuniversity.me.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.